Hello, and welcome to the Tokyo Demons Chapter 3 Free Talk. I'm Rebecca Scoble. I'm the audio director and editor, and I'm here with Leanne, who wrote the story, and several of our actors.
I'm Yi Kim, and I play Mitsuko Hoshino.
Devershin McRae, I play the voice of Sachi Ishida.
I'm Jenny Fittis, I play Miki Morikawa.
So, Dove, you have to play the most ridiculous character out of... Okay, well, now that I'm thinking of it, maybe Jenny has to play the most ridiculous character, but you, Dove, have to play the most ridiculous character with the most ridiculous lines thus far, pretty much.
You keep saying they're ridiculous. I don't think they're that bad.
It's the way you're performing it, dude. They're objectively terrible lines.
She would know.
Maybe it's just the fact that, you know, I can see the character saying those lines that make sense to me, but I don't think they're that objectively terrible.
That's nice of you to say.
Well, you also seem to have a pretty impressive fan following, both among our friends who are reading and listening to the story, and among a few people online.
Well, I thank people for their interest.
He's blushing.
A little
pink.
it's just I've never experienced what Leanne has referred to as internet fame before. So this is all very new for me. So I appreciate everybody's well wishes. I appreciate everybody's input into my character and how. How do I put this?
The support.
I appreciate the support. Yeah. So I appreciate the support that the community has offered my way so far.
Just wait till the fan fiction starts.
Oh, you're fucked, dude.
Really?
Oh yeah. No, those nice guys. Oh, they get it in the fan fiction.
Define get it.
Do you want
actually? You know what? No.
Don't define it. Keeping this PG-16, right? We're not going to define it.
We won't go into that much detail.
Okay. Well, you may have... Jenny can't read any of her lines, then.
That was a problem. Well, in the beginning, we were concerned about the reading. Mostly because of you, but also, we figured with all the non-consensual intravenous drug use, that cursing probably is...
It might do it.
Not that big a deal, comparatively.
The cursing is hilarious. Well, I'm also the editor on the prose book, and usually while I'm reading through it, every time I get to a new incredible Miki line, I will Facebook it to Jenny so that she can know what she has to say later.
It always makes my day.
That's not probably a good sign.
No, probably not.
If you're having the kind of day, it's just like, yes, I get to swear a lot for a microphone.
I mostly just shake my head. I'm like, I have to say that?
Well, and this is something we talked about in the other free talk that we since have to scrap because the quality was bad. But part of the reason that we thought Jenny would be a good fit for Miki, not only because Miki's supposed to be sort of androgynous and your voice is sort of androgynous, but also because your day job is an archaeological digger, so you spend 8 hours a day destroying your body and cursing it.
Yes.
With curses, to be clear. Like, a lot of our friends tried to read for the part and just couldn't swear fluidly enough, but it was just rolls off your tongue.
Fuck yeah.
I guess that's still technically PG-16.
and similarly to how Dove suddenly has a lot of fans, many people have been saying that Jenny fits her role surprisingly well. Do you have any kind of defense that you want to give to that?
Don't deny.
I'm somewhat concerned that all my friends see me as a 17-year-old swearing thug.
Male swearing thug.
A 17-year-old male swearing thug with almost... zero redeeming qualities.
Not zero.
Name one.
He can pickpocket really well.
Yeah.
Wait, is that a redeeming quality?
No. He's actually a not a pickpocket. He's a burglar.
So we had one casting situation that seemed to fit really well. We had one casting situation that surprisingly fit very well. And then we had the one that really caught us all by surprise, which is the lovely and talented Yi Kim, who is a very soft-spoken teacher who's quiet and introverted. knits and bakes really well. who came in here and... blew us away with her sexy voice. So was that surprising?
It was quite surprising to me as well. When I came into audition, I was not really thinking of trying out for musical. It was really on a whim. I just tried it out, and I was really quite surprised when I saw that I got the role. But I am enjoying the role, So I'm having quite a bit of
Were you surprised when you actually did the part, the how unlike yourself you sounded? I haven't heard it, so I'm very much looking forward to
it. It sounds really good.
Yes.
Super sexy.
So I keep hearing, and this is why I want to hear it. When you came in to read it, did you say to yourself, wow, that actually sounded really different than how I usually sound, or did you just, like...
No, I was really just having fun with it. So I really didn't expect much out of it, and it really came out of nowhere. I thought everybody would laugh afterwards.
We did still, but...
We laugh at everyone.
Not because it was bad.
We laugh at Dove the most.
I would agree to that.
Oh, and maybe Jenny the most. I don't know. You guys are pretty good for ridiculousness.
Need some sort of laugh-a-meter.
It's really hard to say, suck my cock 8 billion times, and you guys are just giggling in the background.
Well, I mean, if you'd said it right the first time.
Ooh, voice actor burn. No.
But with E, we did have to continuously say, sexier. More confident, sexier. But, like, she can do it. We just
please never say that to me.
Sexier, more confident.
Okay, Sasha needs to be sexier. No.
I'm sexy, you guys. Can you believe it?
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Don't let that happen.
Well, it's funny. After this, I hadn't really ever thought, because you're not a loud person. You don't talk that much. You're on the quiet side. But now that I've heard you do this, it's true that the way you speak, you always sound like you've kind of got a secret. Which is exactly what you wanted, but it was so out of context when you normally speak. Mm-hmm. Being a mild-mannered school teacher who speaks and knits.
It's always the mild-mannered ones you have to look out for, though.
Yeah, yeah.
It's true.
Maybe deep down there, some sort of sexy bad girl
who wants to. Yeah, after this, we're all keeping a closer eye on you, just to be sure. Never know.
Keeping the brass knuckles and
yeah, we'll keep our brass knuckles locked up. Yeah, let's do that.
Your extensive collection of antique brass knuckles.
We did have a question, which I believe was from Norma.
Hi, Norma.
Hi, Norma.
She's listening.
Should we do it in chorus? Hi, Norma.
Wait, this sounds creepy now.
No, I was trying. I was like, yeah. not one of those. I was like a hi.
Yeah, I'm not singing.
Oh, come on! Unbelievable. You ruin it.
Everyone wants to hear Sachi sing. Go for it, Doe.
No. Well, not anymore. Anyways.
Oh, we've heard you sing at karaoke.
Well.
You like to sing rock ballads.
Luckily for me, you have a very strict no recording policy at karaoke.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, no.
Or else I would have some interesting material to share as well.
Yeah.
The whole recording karaoke thing can get turned around so easily.
Exactly.
But anyway, back to the question that Norma kindly posed to us. Which character do you relate to the most? And I guess we can also add to that, which character do you like the most? So it's not really necessarily the same thing. E?
The character that I relate most to, I would have to say, would be Ayatit. Right now, my personality is a bit more extroverted than it used to be. Around the time when I was in middle school, high school, I was a lot shyer. I didn't want to put myself forward. I preferred being in the background. And so I understand how she feels quite a bit of the time. In regards to the character I like most, I'm not really sure at the moment. I do like a lot of them, so I can't really say.
Joe Ona? Do you like Joe Ona best?
No, he's a dick. He's a dick.
I kind of like Joe, despite the fact that he is a dick.
Yeah.
I think he has those qualities in him that we as... nerds, for lack of a better word, all kind of idolize. Even if you don't do it out loud, you sort of you're watching a movie and there's a guy who kicks down a door and issues this pithy one-liner and rescues the damsel in distress and you're just like, awesome.
Make smoking look cool.
Yeah, exactly. James right.
Bond.
Instead of
James Bond.
Instead of you just smoke and you're just like.
Which is what most high schoolers
exactly.
Yes, say no to drugs.
I assume.
When you start when you're 12, you get the smoker's cough out of the way early.
Oh, terrible advice.
Don't listen to Becca. She's evil.
This is her secret pro-drug message to the masses.
Smoke. Super liberal no, messaging.
Don't. That's not what I intended. All any 12-year-olds who are listening, first of all, why are you listening to this? Second of all, don't smoke like Joe Oda.
Yes, Tokyo Demon's strongest theme is say no to drugs, which might not be obvious now. You'll see where all this drug use leads them.
It seems fun now, kids. It's like that episode of Community.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyways, so I do like elements of Joe's character, and I think that I really enjoy hearing his voice done by Alex.
Oh, he's so good.
I know, right? It's just like he embodies him really well. And there are just parts of it when I'm just like, I can totally see that. Especially when our characters are interacting with each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's just something, like, despite the fact that we're not in the same room, Becca manages to mix it like we're having a conversation. And it just seems like it's just so natural, I guess.
It does. You two sound really good together. Alex has really good chemistry with literally everybody.
Yeah, it's true.
Even when he's not in the same room
with
them.
True. It absolutely is true.
It's good for a narrator.
Yeah.
Yes.
hence why he's narrating.
Yeah.
So I do like Joe, but of course the character that I relate the most to is my own, because when I was first reading the script that Leanne sent over, when she was just like, here, here's the script, just pick some characters who you think you'd like to read for, and see what happens. And I started reading it, and I was immediately drawn to the character of Sachi because I totally understand where he's coming from. I have been described variously in my life as being oblivious to things that are around me. And that's basically what Sachi is. He's just like a really cheerful guy who doesn't realize that, everybody else's world is crumbling around them and they're having all this teenage angst. And he doesn't even know the meaning of the word angst, I don't think. Like, sometimes he gets, like, thoughtful, maybe. at worst. And he's just like, oh, yeah, okay, I understand.
I picture his idea of angst is he can't find his cookies or something like that.
Or he has to wear his glasses, right?
Not my glasses! I look like a dork!
Yeah,
no. Wow, bigger fish, dude.
Yeah, so I was immediately drawn to him because it totally relates to... I kind of like to think that I'm not exactly like Sachi, but...
You are very friendly.
Well, yes, but I hopefully not annoying.
No. which is why we wanted you to be Sachi, because we were like, Dove is friendly and upbeat and not annoying.
Because, Sachi could become annoying really quickly.
Yes, well, we all want to try to avoid that, I'm sure.
We have one of the free talks where Moonklutz was talking about you. We were talking about casting. She's like, yeah, Dove's basically Sachi in real life, now that I know him. Because she didn't know you really before.
Yeah, no. Actually, it's true. I didn't know Moonklutz at all before we started doing this project. And one of the benefits of doing this is allowing me to get to know her a lot better. And the more I get to know her, the more I like her.
Yeah. She's a real character. That's part of why she did this. She's like, I want to start hanging out with this group more. Mm. And we're like, we would like to...
The Why other... would she say that?
Because our party's the best.
2 a.m. and still sober.
I arrived home. We had a New Year's Eve party not 3 nights ago. It's the new year now. And I arrived home at 5 a.m. completely sober after having played board games all night.
There you go.
3 of them. It took... 4 hours to play 3 board games.
See,
it was awesome.
I fell asleep on the couch at 1:30. So,
yes. So yeah, we all had
you win.
A pretty unforgettable time.
We are total
literally party unforgettable. There's no alcohol.
Okay, Jenny?
What's your favorite character?
My favorite character? I was laughing when you were describing yours because you were drawn to a particular character. I don't remember being given a choice. I think I was just handed colorful profanity and being told to state it.
When you guys describe the process where, I read for some characters, like 80% of our friends were cast before you came into the room.
Which they
Dove is Sachi.
Yeah, well, they didn't tell me that when I was reading Kasachi, by the way.
Well, okay, we didn't know if you were going to suck at it.
And I did it first, let's be fair.
I don't know, I mean, you guys are, you have somebody like Alex, who's doing Joe, and it's just like, everything is first or second take, and it all sounds amazing. Mm. But he's an actual actor. And he was very interested in doing this and kind of has done a lot of voiceover work. And actually, at his job now, he's known as the man with the golden voice. And do all the announcements over the
amazing
phone speaker. Yeah.
Attention shoppers.
But then...
Now a sale.
Yeah, yeah.
You make it sound creepy. See, don't go to that sale.
That's my gift. I can't do sexy. I can only do creepy. See, that's why I wanted to read for that villain as well, right? But no, apparently I'm just not creepy. I'm either too creepy or not creepy enough. I don't know.
Or just hilariously creepy.
Yeah.
But
this was always going to be an amateur production. So.
I'm impressed that Jay has managed to get two distinct different voices for these two characters.
Well, Jay's a little bit of acting experience as well. Mm-hmm. He's done a lot of community theater and that sort of thing. He slid into that toy role way faster than any of us were comfortable with.
Yeah.
Slid into it like a black leather glove. See it? Creepy, right?
Yeah, creepy.
Well, but I was supposed to be creepy.
Too
See,
creepy.
That was acting.
Uncomfortable.
All right, but anyways, back to
Jen.
The character
right.
Jenny most likes.
Character too. I most like. I actually find it hard to separate the characters from the actors, because I know everyone in the show extremely well.
So who do you like the most?
Yes, Jenny, tell us.
Okay, the one who makes you laugh the most has to be Dove.
Oh,
it's just... It's funny. Everything you say is funny. You're like a puppy. I want to pet you on the head.
Oh. He's making it.
I'm petting him on the
real,
head.
That's not belittling.
No, it's just I'm always drawn to characters that make me laugh. So I'll have to go with Sachi for that one. In terms of characters that I relate to, it's definitely not my own.
She'd like to underline that.
I will underline that. I am not a 17-year-old male thug. It has no aspect whatsoever to my personality. When I was given the character synopsis, I got a brief like one paragraph synopsis, and like, really, this is how you see me?
Okay, well,
interesting.
To be fair, he was not an easy guy to cast.
No, it's fair enough. I totally accept my profanity laced role.
And
it's just
a really good job with it too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to chapter 3 coming out, because that's the first time a character is actually introduced. So it'll be interesting to see what strangers think of it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So it's the idea of my voice being out there is somewhat creepy, but I'm looking forward to it. It'll be interesting.
Your scene is literally like 9 pages long.
Yeah, I'm like exposition man.
Oh yeah, you are exposition man
with lots of fuck.
Yeah,
you're the fucking exposition guy.
Fucking exposition. It's pretty good.
You see, he so naturally just throws this profanity in there.
Yeah. Thank you.
I could just keep adding that if you want.
That
add some
means,
flavor
that
to
means,
the conversation.
That means thank you in Mickey speak.
Yay! back to the question. The character that I relate to the most is probably ISA, but not in its entirety. I probably take bits and pieces of all the different characters. But in a lot of ways, I'm very similar to ISA, except that I would have absolutely loved to be able to turn to bees. So I just think I can think of lots of hilarious applications of that ability. So I could
please
be...
Please expand on that.
Well, just like, okay, growing up with 3 brothers, having the ability to sting them invisibly while sitting in front of them is funny. Not me. I think that'd be fun. Yeah, I think I would be the type of person who would be the quiet, unassuming one in the corner who is stinging people silently behind their backs.
Don't forget all the great bee puns you can get.
There are lots of bee puns.
Lots of bee
this
puns.
Is true.
Which we've all discovered and discussed at length ever since we discussed.
Moonclut's favorite thing is the
bee
pun.
She just like texts me all day. Like, I got another one. She sent me to this forum. That was only bee puns.
Are you
like,
kidding me?
There's a forum.
Well, not a forum, but like a thread on a forum, but the entire thread was only bee puns. To the point where there was no context. They weren't sentences. It was just lists of bee puns. Like, behave, you know? Like, Obima's America, you know? Like, just.
Obima's America?
Yeah.
Really?
That's a stretch.
That one took a, that took a second.
I'm a believer. I'm a B-leaver.
B-leaver, there you go.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember them now. They were all clever.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Those are all terrible.
I'm looking forward to fan art with bees.
Yeah. Mm.
Especially with Sachi. Turning you into a bee or something like that. Or being stung by a giant bee.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't think this has come up in the story. At least not through chapter 3 yet. But Sachi has a crippling fear of insects. Which is going to get in the way of sexy times.
I think a lot more things would get into the way of sexy
there,
times.
There's a lot to get in the way of sexy times.
Wait, how often does crippling bees come up with sexy times?
Well, when you're waking up with the girl who turns into a bee.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
It's an issue.
Is that a spoiler?
I think that's a teaser.
All right.
No, they're not actually happen. I'm not quite sure how you do the sound effects for that, but I think it would probably be pretty painful for me.
Well, somehow. Just in the sense that when you're with someone in a romantic sense and you can't stop thinking about them getting surprised and turning into bees, and that how that would not be a pleasant experiment for you. Also the idea that, like, when she turns into the swarm, he's like, oh god, you know, just like, he's not very supportive.
Nice.
Yeah.
What
about you?
Oh.
What do you relate the most to?
Oh, God.
Oh, I wonder.
ISA? All right, you know, introverts of the world unite. Come on. You understand.
Quietly. Introverts unite quietly.
Okay, unite, but don't tell each other.
Admission that I am a little uncomfortable having out there. ISA is kind of based off of me.
Yes.
I'm a little less crazy. A little bit. Yeah. Maybe, just a little bit.
Well, you don't turn into bees.
That we know
awesome of. If you could.
That would be the cool part.
See?
No, it would be the cool part. She will embrace it. She will embrace it later on.
Remember, she's still an awkward teenager at this point.
Yeah.
Anything that makes you different as a teenager is automatically uncool. No matter how cool it is in retrospect.
So basically, every time anyone says that they like ISA the best, I am very happy because it means that she's not coming off as super annoying, and that means that I'm not super annoying. So, yeah.
I like ISA the best, too, now.
And she's doing well. She's getting a lot of... I think she had to get into the later chapters and start really kind of coming into her own before people could relate to her. We had disclaimers on some of the early chapters. I think chapter 3 specifically saying, I'm sorry, I know, like, the... highlight of this chapter for her is she falls downstairs.
Yeah, I've been against the falling downstairs at the beginning. But it's okay. She can have her pathetic moment.
Well, that was supposed to be sort of at sort of rock bottom for her, is chapter 3 and 4. And then 5 and on, she's sort of
awesome.
Yeah, awesome. I think it will be cathartic.
And kicking ass via the medium of bees.
Yes,
that is the best medium
to
kick ass.
That part's not based off of me.
Well,
I'm sure that if you were able to turn into bees, you would kick copious amounts of ass with said bees.
Yes. I'll keep that in mind.
Absolutely. I have no doubt.
I say strong moral core is based off of yours. Yes.
You're a complete inability to be evil in any way.
Yeah, you couldn't. You have a mean bone in your body.
Oh my god, are you sure? I don't know. I've had recordings of me being mean to you.
Well, that's just her.
I deserve it.
Alright, so let's go talk about someone else's things. Which character do you like and or relate to the most, Leanne?
I think in terms of relatability, like Jenny was saying, you see little bits of yourself in different people. There are definitely parts that are... stuff with Emmy that happens later that are sort of taken almost directly out of my life in terms of how she shows affection, which is strangely particularly for like family members, which is especially strange. But the way that Joe thinks and speaks is very similar to how my thought patterns go, and a little bit my speech pattern, but I'm not cool. I think it's important to stress that I'm not cool. like Joe is definitely based off of sort of a type, of the too cool for school type. I find Joe's scenes very, very easy to write, whereas ISA is incredibly difficult, and I need Rebecca's help, and I always think, like, if I were Rebecca, what would I do in this case? Well, the opposite of what I, as Leanne, would do in this case.
She would sit in the corner and not talk and glare and think about neuroses and hide behind a door or not say things or, yeah, like, oh, God, that part in chapter 1 where she, or it was chapter 2, where she, Joe throws the candy bar and she just, like, moves it to the edge of her bed. It's totally based on something I would have done when I was, like, 15.
I think that's my favorite line of the entire series so far. It was, like, the internal monologue where it's like, oh no, ISA is being sullen again. I laughed out loud at that one.
That's the foundation of their relationship. And that will be Joe and ISA's relationship in many senses through all of the books, which is just like, oh, not your shit again. They're saying simultaneously at each other. Oh, I'm so tired of your shit.
And then there's like a background shot going, wah, 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 wah.
Exactly. However, my favorite character is very different from that. I don't know how embarrassing this is going to get for me, but my favorite is Kiyoshi. And without going into too many details, he's sort of based off someone I had a crush on in high school.
These are all interesting
details. But
that's why he's in more of the art than anyone else.
Well, there's definitely a bias there. I'm trying not to play favorites or anything. I mean, he is very important to the plot, but he's a little bit more he's a little bit less relatable, I think, than some of them, because he's really quite dim. but it's a combination of somebody that I kind of had the hots for, and also my feelings when I was a teenager about love, and then how I sort of grew up, I guess. So the way that he grows up over the course of the book is sort of, you know, because I was very, very naive as a teenager. And he is clearly pretty fucking naive. The way that he grows up is very similar to how I grew up. So I, combination of like,
kidnappings. I have a lot of
that it's not an entirely fair comparison. I had a very normal childhood.
No super gangs.
No super gangs.
No archery competitions.
No, I wasn't that good at anything ever. But there's a lot of sort of nostalgia there, I guess, in terms of high school and idealism and stuff. But I'm pretty sure Kyoshi's nobody else's favorite, so I don't think he's being treated disproportionately well in anything.
Well, wait till he's not kidnapped anymore. You know, give him a chance.
Yeah. I think he's going to be, I think, similar to ISA in the sense that he's very much on the defensive a lot. Bad things happen to him and he doesn't deserve it, whatever. But he will regain his power and sort of start fighting back in the same way that ISA will, at around the same time that ISA does. So I think it will be cathartic to see these two kind of quiet, you know, unassuming kids who went through really bad things kick all kinds of ass. Like, just beat up bad guys who totally deserve it. And whereas people like Joe, who's really bad in a physical conflict, like, you know, he can talk the talk but not walk the fist.
He's a good at being a punching bag.
He attracts a lot of punches. So he can be the decoy, and then the bees come.
And then the bees come. That's a good tagline.
That'll be our next ad, and then the bees come.
I think Kiyoshi is going to get more fans the more chapters are released in the audio form, because I think Dallas is doing an awesome job with it. So I think he'll get the fangirls.
Okay, that man can cry on command. I was tearing up. Like, seriously.
That was hard. When he faked his own kidnapping, that was difficult to listen to. It was too real. It's like, please stop, God.
Also,
are you okay?
We were afraid that the people downstairs were going to think we were kidnapping a boy.
Oh, they're kidnapping boys again up there, oi. Yeah. They go in, but they don't come out, oi.
Yeah. That's why getting Dallas has been especially rewarding, because I was like, oh, yes.
Oh, you should have seen that. You should have seen the pose she was doing when she said that line. Oh, if you had only seen it. Oh.
But also, I think he's only as likable as he is sympathetic. And he doesn't have that many lines, he doesn't do that much, just bad things happen to him, which is not inherently sympathetic. He has to be sort of likable. And I think he kind of walked that line between likable and forgettable, but Dallas's performance is so good that I think it's going to push him over. And similar to ISA, I think he will be more popular in the later chapters, but I don't know, I find him very hard to judge. He's really naive compared to most of the rest of the cast. I don't know if that would appeal to anybody else. Maybe, like, the younger set. But then again, Sachi. Well,
yeah,
Sachi's not naive, though. Not really.
Well, I'm naive.
Just because he's nice and maybe a little oblivious about some things doesn't mean that he's, you know, Kyoshi.
Right. You tell me that pencil thing wasn't based on anything. I
mean, no, that was just Joe being a dick. Okay. No. I mean, it's not that. This is the thing. Like, it's not that directly close. Like, a lot of these things are pulling from different periods of life or experiences or whatever,
exactly.
But he definitely has a lot more to do with my development as a teenager growing into being an adult that makes me too nostalgic. It's like, oh man, he's gonna grow up like I grew up and everything, like, it gets better, you know, like, and it's okay to let go of your idealism because it will make you stronger, and I don't know, just a fond memory, so definitely bias.
Alright, we should probably wrap that up. Thank you all for listening. We will be back at the end of chapter 4. Not sure with who yet, but I'm sure they will be just as charming and lovable as our current set, maybe?
Nah.
I don't know.
No one could be that charming and lovable. Hopefully, Dalish and Jay, or Kyoshi and Toya, that's the goal.
Alright, so goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.